Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Julie Parity, Administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Also joining us today from IBM is Randy Livingston.
Julie, we talk with many of our guests about the use of collaboration and partnership among federal and state agencies, as well as with the private sector, to achieve mission results. How does FNS leverage partnerships to improve operations and outcomes, and how will these partnerships change over time?
Well, I don't know that there has ever been more support for collaboration among federal agencies than we have today. The opportunities are absolutely enormous. We've got some natural partners, for example, at HHS, at Department of Labor, even at Veterans Administration, Department of Education, and we've begun dialoguing with them. We're getting help from the Domestic Policy Council in that regard. The Secretary has done a number of events with other secretaries at other departments, and I don't recall ever seeing that level of collaboration before. Of course, the challenge is that we're all extraordinarily busy, and so, you know, to put collaboration into the mix of everything else that we're doing, just trying to run our day-to-day programs as well as all the new initiatives that are coming down because of the tremendous interest in our programs, and then adding collaboration to that is a real challenge. But nonetheless, we're very excited by the potential of it if we can just find a way to sort of develop those connections and develop those networks, make sure that staff is talking to one another as well as policy officials. I think it's really huge. I have thought for a number of years that there were more opportunities than we were availing ourselves of with partnering with the private sector. Clearly, working with the grocery manufacturers, the food producers, farmers, the retail community, we've got some excellent relationships there. But my sense was that there was more that the private sector might want to do. And I'm thrilled that there has recently come together a corporate coalition to end hunger. It's being led by Walmart, but it's made up of a number of very significant private sector entities, including USA Today, who have come together and pledged significant funding as well as all of their efforts to work with us to end childhood hunger. So I think it's just another example of the support that these programs have across the country and the understanding that in the United States, there's really no place for families to be hungry and that we all have to pull together to do everything that we can at various levels, various sectors, to make sure that no family in this country goes hungry. So it's in a very exciting time. I think there's tremendous opportunity for us to do collaboration, and it certainly does bode well for these programs and for the American people.
Julie, I'd like to transition to the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future? And how do you envision your agency evolving to meet those challenges and seize those opportunities?
Well, it's interesting. You know, these programs have been around for a long time. FNS celebrated its 40th anniversary in the summer of 2009. And we think we do an extraordinary job. We've talked about the numbers of people that we help with these programs every single day, millions and millions and millions. So I don't know that dramatic changes to our programs are necessary. We have found over the course of, you know, the last several years that there's a significant number of people who, even though they're eligible for our programs, they are not participating in our programs. In spite of the fact that we're going to be helping to feed 43 million people in the SNAP program, that's only 67% of the eligibles. So there's probably another 20 million people out there that could be benefiting from that program that are not. And that's not a structural change that needs to be made to SNAP. That just means we've got to do better the work that we've been doing for the last 40 years. I will tell you, I am greatly encouraged by the fact that the incidence of hunger between 2008, the figures that you have cited for 2008, we just recently learned, got the numbers for 2009. In spite of the fact that between 2008 and 2009, the poverty numbers went up, the numbers of people in poverty, the numbers of unemployed went up, the people who were hungry, the numbers of people, the percentage of people who were hungry did not go up between 2008 and 2009. In 2009, 14.7% of households in the United States were food insecure. That's essentially unchanged from the 14.6% in 2008. Now, it's 17.4 million households. Don't misunderstand me. We're very concerned in the United States of America that we could have over 17 million households hungry. But the fact that we didn't have a higher percentage of hungry households when all the other indicators were going up, I think is really, really, really a tribute to our programs. And we know that of the families that were very food insecure, what I call the most hungry, 6.8 million households, or 5.7% of all U.S. households, that was unchanged from 2008. So the very worst off, that number did not change from 2008 to 2009. I think this is a huge tribute to our programs. I think that really proves the success of our programs. And I have told staff that in spite of the fact that the president has challenged us to eliminate childhood hunger by 2015, the thought that we could have, you know, brought those numbers down at a time when so many families are being challenged by the state of our economy was unrealistic, and that it is a huge success that we were able to meet the needs of hungry people and keep those food security numbers level at a time of such dire need. So I think it just, once again, if I could, you know, tout the value of these programs, and I feel just so honored and blessed to be not only working with amazing programs, but with amazing people who have worked so hard, who have, you know, put their nose to the grindstone and under very difficult circumstances made sure that these programs are doing what they're supposed to do, is a great tribute.
Well, I want to close the show today with asking you, what can interested citizens do to contribute to the efforts of your agency with all the good work it's leading?
Well, they can go to our website. We have got any number of things on our website that sort of speak to how they can get engaged, how they can get involved. We've got toolkits there that sort of can run them through, give them some ideas of what they can do in their community. Certainly, they can work with local shelters, local pantries. They can get involved with their school in terms of working with the folks who provide those meals to schools. They can use all the help that they can get, and they can advocate on behalf of these programs to make sure that that they're not threatened and that they get all the support they need from the Congress, from state legislatures, from governors, from welfare commissioners, and others who play a significant role in supporting these programs and making them just as strong as they possibly can be.
Julie, that's terrific advice. I want to thank you for your time today, but more importantly, Randy and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a great honor to be a public servant. My mom and my dad were in the Marine Corps. My mom, when she got out of the Marine Corps, went on to be a teacher, so I got a good dose of what it meant to be a public servant and to serve the American people. It's been a great privilege and an honor for me, and I highly recommend public service to anyone who wants to feel good about what they did day in and day out.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Julie Parity, Administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. My co-host from IBM has been Randy Livingston. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.